This is the Alien UFO Podcast, episode 222, and I'm your host, Simon Bowne. And you can enjoy the extended version of this episode ad-free, along with over 200 hours of extended episodes on Patreon. This week, I'm talking to Samantha Liefke about her book, Born Awakened, an otherworldly true story. From her earliest memory, Samantha has been in contact with beings unseen by the physical eye. Hi, Samantha. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Hey, Simon. Thanks for having me.
So we're going to be talking about your experiences. Your book's called Born Awakened, an otherworldly true story. But I wanted to start off the beginning of the book. You have this thing, you call it Summoned for Initiation. So what happened there? How old were you?
That experience happened when I was just a toddler. I know it was before I could speak. I might have been just a couple years old. But that was my first encounter that I've ever had. But even though it was my first one and I was so young, it's still one of the most powerful ones I've ever had. And so what happened was I was out of body at the top of the staircase in the poltergeist house that I grew up in. And there were these three beings with me. One was on my left side and one was on my right side at the top of the staircase. And then the other one was at the bottom of the staircase looking up at me. They were floating and they were these transparent, childlike beings. And they were transparent, but their detail was outlined in like this gold glitter. And so you could see them. You could see all of their details. You could see their face, their hair, their features, their wings, their entire body with this gold that they were outlined in. But then the rest of their body, you could see through it. And so they were teaching me how to lift off of the ground and levitate or fly. And I could, it was a beautiful, beautiful experience. And they were, how it felt to be with them was, I mean, the word heavenly is probably the closest word that I could use, but it doesn't even do it justice. Like how incredible it was to be in their presence and to connect with them. And so they spoke telepathically to me. We spoke telepathically with each other. And it wasn't just what we were thinking, but it was also how we felt, how they felt was transferred to me that way too. And so they were encouraging me. They were happy. They were encouraging me how to like get to lift off of the ground and fly with them. And I could feel all of these currents of energy just rushing around me and just like rolling through the air. And my energy of my spiritual body was like unified with these currents that were around me. And some of them came from the three beings and connected with me. It was a lot going on around me, but it felt so natural. Like I already understood it. And so I used my own energy to interact with the field around me and lift off of the ground. And so I did. And so I was floating with them at the top of the staircase. And then it was time for us to fly down the staircase. And so the two by my side, they flew with me kind of slowly, almost like a practice. They flew with me down the staircase. And I remember I can see it still in my head. I can see my feet floating over the steps as we're flying down. I could see the steps passing beneath my feet. I could still see it. And when we got to the bottom, we were all hovering and they were celebrating that I accomplished that with them. But it's not like it was interesting because their facial expressions weren't as like expressive as like a human's would be if they were excited or if they were celebrating, but it was their energy that was blasting into my being that I understood that we were celebrating. It wasn't like they were, you know, had these big smiles. They had like nice, kind looks on their faces, but they weren't what, yeah, it was incredible. And so I was just being blasted with this love and with this celebration and with this excitement. And I was surrounded by three beings that were not human. And yeah, so that was my first experience. And I call it, and I start the book with it because it's, that was what started it all for me. That was it, right at the beginning of my life, my first big memory. And it started everything. It never stopped from there. And I call it summon for initiation because it was like I was summoned to meet with them. I was brought out of body for this initiation into the other realm, to like be a part of that, to be connected for life.
The way you talk about it, it sounds like the same thing people say when they've had a near-death experience, that thing of total love that overwhelms them in a way.
Yeah.
You say in the book, one of the sentences is, everything was different on the other side, and I mean everything. What did you mean by that?
All of my senses were heightened. When you're out of the physical body, it's like when you're truly, you're out of body and you're experiencing life not confined to a physical vessel. It's like your senses are just like on, they're so heightened. Sorry, I can't think of the word. And the sounds that I was hearing and the feelings and the sensations and the energy around me and the colors, the color spectrum that we see through our physical eyes, like if you amplified that and you had all of these like the energy had a color and the light had color and the fields around us had color and they had sound and they had a hum and I also talk about like the hum that was behind everything, that was at the base of everything that I was sensing. And it was like the one who created all of this, his hum, his constant, I could sense that, I could hear it, I could feel it, and it created everything around me. And yeah, just the incredible emotion that I felt too. It was just, it was out of this world. It was otherworldly. And yeah, it was very different from it is here in the physical world. Everything was different, but in an amazing way.
Did you get any sense of being on a mission when you're living this life? There's a feeling you're here for a reason, to do something that's related to that initiation.
I do. Yeah. I've always known that they came to me for a reason. I don't know why. I don't know why exactly. But I feel like the reason is like that I'm going to be able to find a lot more out about the reason very soon. Because ever since I was really little, the others, and I use that term as it's like these interdimensional beings that I had contact with throughout my life, they would tell me telepathically that you are going to write a book about the things that you've seen. One day you're going to write a book about it. And I've always known that when that happened, things were going to start opening up. And I was going to start really understanding a lot of these experiences that I've always had. And I've always had a sense of mission. I've always loved talking about this with people and opening up about this. And I feel like this is a whole beginning to a whole new part in my journey, and that a lot of things are going to start making sense.
You also talk in the book about a point where you were very young and that you were lifted from your bed and you went up and out the building and there was a dark steel cube.
Yeah.
So was that like a, would you say that was an alien abduction or it was more spiritual?
I mean, honestly, it wasn't until I started writing my book and until I started really diving deep into listening and searching other people's abduction experiences that I realized that, oh my gosh, I am an abductee. I was taken to a UFO when I was 6 or 7, that experience that you're talking about. And I personally, I think that the entire abduction experience is in itself a spiritual experience. So I do think it's both. The beings that manifested in my room, and I was awake. I wasn't sleeping or anything. I was just laying there one night, getting tired, trying to go to sleep. And all of a sudden I felt like someone was with me, which is something that I was very familiar with, but I knew that it wasn't anything bad. I knew it was good. And then they just appeared above me and they separated me out of my physical body and they carried me through the ceiling and through the roof of the house. And we came up on the cube that was in the clouds. And when I was close enough, I felt like in sync with it. Like I felt like I connected with it. Like the cube itself, it was really wild. And when we got very close where we were ready to go inside, it didn't have like a doorway that opened. It was like the side of it dissolved or lowered its density so that we could pass through it. And so, yeah, I watched the side of it just kind of like fade, and then we passed through, and then it kind of its density came back. It came back. And so inside was this bright white room. And it was huge. It was a very, very big room, maybe the size of it was like a big house inside, but if it was just one room. And there were all of these moving boxes on the floor in the middle of the room. Well, actually, it was in the middle of the room and it was on the side of the room. And they placed me in one that was kind of on the edge of the room next to the wall with a shelf on it. And so they put me in there and it was this big box. And I it was probably, if I was standing, it was like up to my chest, but I was 6 or 7. So I was pretty small. So maybe it wasn't so big now, you know, but to me at 6 or 7, this was pretty big. And so they hovered to the other side of the room and they just observed me. And so I was looking around. I was just kind of taking in like, where am I? And on the other side was the cube had opened on the other side, and there was another craft that was on the outside of the cube that these two men were loading boxes in and out of that craft. And so I was just looking around, and there was, the walls were just shining with light. There wasn't like light sources. It was just everything in the room was emitting its own light. And so I felt like that shelf in front of me, that I had to reach for something on it. And there was all these items. It was, I believe it was three tiers, like three shelves on the wall. And I was supposed to, my mission was I had to reach for something. I had to touch that shelf. And so I tried to reach for it, and it was just a little bit too far away. So I turned around and I looked to the ones who brought me there, and they transferred this encouragement to me, like, you know, go ahead, keep trying, try to reach it. And so I turned around and I continued to try to reach as far as I could. I reached as much as I could, and I just couldn't reach it. And so I looked back at them again, and they floated over to me, and they took me out of the box, and they carried me back down through the sky and through the roof of my house and back, and they set me back into my body. And I felt my two bodies combine. It was like this snap. It was like I felt them snap together. And then as soon as I was in the body, my physical body again, they were gone. And I was just laying there like in shock. But it was also like I was excited, because it was, again, it was just that love-filled experience. And now I wonder if they were actually seeing or maybe expecting me to levitate out of the box to reach the shelf, rather than just try and reach for it standing on my feet. And another thing that I actually discovered recently was that other people have reported touching parts of the inside of UFOs to merge their consciousness with it and pilot it. So I almost wonder if they were seeing if I was ready to pilot some UFO that I'm connected to.
I've heard from people on this podcast about how when they were that age, like 6 or 7, maybe a little older, they were taken to a room and there was lots of other children, and they were given these objects that they, you know, the telekinesis, they levitated them with their mind.
Right.
Maybe they wanted you to use your mind to take things off the shelf.
Right. I've heard that as well. That's, I just got like shivers through my body when you were saying that. Oh.
And there's something strange there about, you said you saw men loading boxes into another craft. Were they like just normal humans? Were they wearing jeans and a t-shirt? What did they look like?
They appeared to be mostly human, but I knew that they were not. And they were wearing clothes and shoes like a person would. And they were like your standard size men, maybe, you know, around 6 feet tall. But their clothes were very plain, just plain colors. It wasn't like a bodysuit or anything like I've seen other beings in, like one piece bodysuits. So they actually were wearing like some type of shirt and pants and shoes. But I knew that they weren't human. It was like a knowing that I had.
So we'll talk about as you got older and you're with Mark. There's a thing in the book about how there was an entire forest out. Was it out the back of your house? And it lit up every 10 to 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Just how bright was that?
Yeah. So while we were actually looking for houses for ourselves, we were staying with my dad. And so that was in a forest behind his house. And so there's, on both sides of his property were other woods and private property. And it was out in the country. And behind that, there was just acres and acres of woods and cornfields. And so there was, you know, there's no industry, there's no town there or anything like that. It's just woods. And so there's a big long tree line, and these blasts of light covered the whole tree line. They lit that whole tree line right up with this white light that was coming from behind the trees. And it was like, it almost looked like it was coming on the from the ground somewhere in the woods. And yeah, it was silent. It was totally silent. And the crazy thing is, our phone cameras wouldn't pick up the light. We tried recording. We tried taking pictures. We tried taking videos, me and Mark. And it wouldn't pick up the light. But we could see it clear as day with our eyes. It was lighting up the trees.
So would you say Mark has some kind of experiences? Because what I'm wondering is, your phones wouldn't pick it up. So maybe the light wasn't actually totally in our dimension, our reality, our universe. And that both you and Mark have this kind of psychic talent to be able to see stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a really interesting way to put it. That's very possible. I know that, yeah, I actually kind of agree with that, that the light must have been on the other side, but it was being shown to us. And yeah, so we saw that. We saw it for two nights in a row. And so the first night that we ended up seeing that, I had this just burning feeling, go sit at the window and watch. And so I did. And I sat there for a little bit and I knew that I was going to see something. And then that's when it started. And so me and Mark watched it. And then the next night I had the same sensation. It's going to happen again. Go watch. And it did. It happened again. And that second night, there was, after we were watching that for a while, there was actually a beam of light that would almost like scan through the area that the blasts of light were coming from. And Mark saw that, hold on, there's this bright thing in the sky just above the beam. And there was, and it looked way too bright to be a star. And it was where the beam was coming from. And it was sweeping through the trees as the blasts would come and light up the tree line. And we sat and watched for a long time. And again, our phones wouldn't pick it up and it was silent. No sound.
So with the lights and that sense of going to look out the window, it almost sounds like that whole light show was specifically for you and Mark maybe as well. And it wasn't that you just happened to see something and they didn't know you were there.
Right. Yeah. I was called to it before. It's like before it happened, I had someone tell me in, like, it was like a telepathic communication, go and sit at the window and watch. So I definitely feel like it was, we were definitely meant to see that.
So then the question is, why? Did you get the sense they were trying to communicate with you, or it was something else?
I have that same question. I do. And I'm still trying to answer these questions.
Yeah.
It's like the more I experience, the more questions I have, the more why I ask. And but since then, that was I've had a few more, you know, of those types of experiences, and I feel like they're connected.
And is it that a few years later, people in your family saw a UFO in that backyard?
Yep. Two family members saw one hovering right in that area, right over the forest.
Was it like just a silver saucer or something else?
It was, they described it as a, almost like a camouflaged big craft that was kind of blocking out the stars behind it. Like when you see, you know how when you see like the heat waves over a car on a hot day? How that kind of like messes with what you see, you know, through it. It was kind of like that. Like it was,
shimmering.
They could see it. Yeah, they could see it, but but they could also kind of see through it. But it was there.
And there's one experience in the book, you call it a reality-shifting out-of-body experience, where you looked out the window and there were grey aliens stood out on the grass. Was there a lot of them?
Yeah, there were a lot of them. Yeah, I was walking around the house out of body, and I had the feeling to look out of the windows, and when I did, there they were, and they were just standing there. And I almost think they were actually hovering over the grass, unless they were pretty tall, because the windows I was looking out of were not right up just above the ground, but a little bit, just a little higher off the ground than it, you know, than like a first story window, maybe like 1.5 stories. And they looked like they were just standing outside, right outside of the window. So I almost think that they were hovering there, and they were outside of one window. And then I went to the next window and there were more, and there was, you know, there would be a 3 or 4 at one window, 2 or 3 or 4 at the next window. And the last window I looked out of was my daughter's bedroom window. And that was where I saw those 3 that I drew for the book to show what it looked like seeing them out of the window.
And do you think that if you were in body, not out of body, you would have seen them?
I don't know. I would say for that specific experience, some reason I would say no. I think that they were on the other side, and I was on the other side, and so I saw them. And I know that they can show themselves on this side too, in the physical realm. But I think that they were just on that side during that moment. And I'm not sure if I was supposed to see them, or if they were expecting me to, or not. But they were just standing around, and they were just kind of looking at each other and looking around, and they weren't talking or anything. They were just, it was like they were just waiting.
It's weird, isn't it? Again, it's like, why? What were they doing?
Right.
And also, if you hadn't seen them when you're in body, then are they there all the time? Are they always around us?
Right. I think that there's so many others around us at all times, honestly. Those specific ones that I saw that day, I do wonder, you know, how often are they there? Where do they come from? Why were they there? Were they waiting for me? Do they just hang out there anyway, regardless of contact with me or not? But I do know that there are many types of other beings, and that they are interdimensional. And so, yeah, it is definitely easier to be able to see what's really around us when we're kind of outside of the physical body, so we can see into those other realms or dimensions.
And you got the feeling that they couldn't come in the house. What do you mean they couldn't? It's like there's a barrier for them, or they've been instructed to stay outside or something?
Yeah. I had the feeling that they weren't able to come in. And I don't know if that was, I don't know. I mean, I do know that, well, number one, I don't know their intention too. And I do know that my house is guarded by beings on the other side that watch out for me and my family. And so I do question, you know, is that why they couldn't come in? Or were they there to help me and they were simply just waiting? So it's interesting to kind of try and think about, you know, the possibilities. You know, were they there to, are they, do they have good intentions, or do they have bad intentions? Or so I definitely still wonder, you know, why I somehow knew that they had to stay outside.
You said that you have spirits around the house that are kind of protecting you. So what are those spirits? Are they humans or something else?
The first that I can, that I know that are with me are, for example, the ones that have been with me since I was a kid. I know that I still feel their presence. That same love and protection, and that knowing that their presence is with me, guiding me and helping me and protecting me and my family now, my kids and Mark. And aside from them, which I believe they're the biggest help to me, in that way. But I've had other out-of-body experiences since living here that have shown me what walks around and guards. And for example, there's a chapter in my book called Ancient Guardian. And that specific experience was like I was standing in the dining room area and looking out of the sliding door, and I could see the backyard and the woods behind it, and it was almost like a meaningful message, and at the same time showing me that there are ones here that are surrounding you to protect you. And so what I saw were all of these big beasts and these animals and these creatures coming out of the woods around my home, and they were fighting and they were killing each other, and there was a war, basically, and like a spiritual war. And then what I saw was this huge ancient lion that came around the house and into my view. And it was this saturated teal color, and it was just shimmering. And this thing was huge, and it was just this strong beast. But it was like I sensed that it came from like a heavenly place. And as it came around, as it stepped on the grass, every time it made a step, I felt its energy transfer through the ground and up through my body. And it was, and then it looked over at me, and it was there to protect me. It was there as a display of, look, you have something here that's guarding you. You know, there's a war going on around you. There's things going on around you, but you have these ancient beings that are here standing by to protect you. And that was definitely what that was. It was a beautiful experience. So that's one thing that, and I'm not sure if that was whatever type of being that was. I knew it was ancient too. I could just feel how ancient it was. And I don't know if that was its true form, or if that was just kind of the way it showed itself to me for me to perceive it. Because I know that sometimes we can be shown beings, or the way that we perceive them sometimes is slightly different from maybe their true original form. But that's how it showed itself to me, a guardian that surrounds my home. And I've also, there's been times when I've seen the lights in the forest around the home that I had that same sensation. For example, there was one time this has happened to me many times, that suddenly I feel the need to go to a certain window and look out. And that's what happened one night. And it was time to go to bed, and the kids were in bed and shutting lights off. And so there was no need for me to go across the house and look out of the kitchen window. And I wasn't even in the kitchen, but something told me, go look out of the kitchen window right now. Go open the curtain. So I did. And there was this big, bright ball of light that was hovering halfway up the pine trees out back. And it was going back and forth, left and right and up and down, and it was getting smaller and then growing and changing brightness and playing, or like moving in a playful way. And I could just feel its presence. I could feel that it was almost like a guardian. Like, I got that sensation that, like, hi, I'm here protecting you. I just wanted you to see me. And after watching it, and I called Mark over and we both watched it, and it would move through the trees, and it was just this big ball of glowing light, white light. And then after watching it for a while, it just slowly faded and in the middle of the trees, and it was gone.
So do you think if you have house guests or any other visitors around you and they see all this stuff as well, or is it just like it's just you and Mark?
So far, we haven't had anyone see anything yet. It normally seems to happen when it's just us here. Although I have had, there was this one time that my younger sister came over for the weekend, and me and her were up late one night talking about this kind of stuff because she's also an experiencer. And so we were talking, and I mean, we had been talking for hours. It was getting into the early morning hours, and we decided, okay, you know, we should probably get some sleep. And so as we stood up, this great horned owl just calls right outside. We were in the family room, and there's a sliding door next to the couch we were sitting on. And just a matter of steps away is the side of the forest. And so it was right there. It was definitely for us to hear, because that owl could have been anywhere else. It could have been anywhere else in the big forest. It could have been anywhere else on the property. But just as we stood up from our conversation, it called. And I know from my own experiences, as well as from hearing others' experiences, that owls are very connected to the other side and the paranormal and all of these sorts of things. And so when we heard that, we knew that it meant something. And she ended up hearing it because she slept down there that night. She ended up hearing it until she fell asleep that night. So that was something that, and then other experiences followed just days later after that, after she had left. Again, I'm sure she left, but they happened to me. Some more experiences after that, but that I feel were connected to the owls, and they always show up. The great horned owl always shows up when there's heightened activity or when something happens. But yeah, that was the one thing that was interesting that happened when someone was here.
So do you find if you hear an owl or you see one, that's like a warning, or maybe not a warning, a sign to say, get ready, something's going to happen?
For sure. I definitely do. Yeah. From what I've experienced, I definitely, like, okay, if we start hearing those great horned owls every night, or we hear a big loud call from one, you know, during a conversation about this kind of stuff, you know, it definitely is like, okay, you know, either get ready, or, you know, something is, or maybe they sense something that is currently, you know, in the area or on the other side, maybe because of this conversation stirred some sort of energy and they're attracted to it. Or, but yeah, I also know that they do show up and abduction experiences and all sorts of these kinds of experiences too. They definitely mean something.
And didn't one of them wake you up extra early in the morning, and as your husband Mark had to get up and go to work?
Yeah, so what happened is he was going to drive from Michigan to Ohio that morning, and so we had the alarm set for, I believe it was 6:30 in the morning. But at 6 o'clock, a half an hour early, the great horned owl, well, first, we didn't know it was a great horned owl at first, because we woke up from this huge bang on the roof right above our heads. And it was just this, I mean, it sounded like a thunder hit our roof. It was so loud. And we both sat right up in bed. We woke right up. And the kids didn't wake up, but we woke up. And it was like it happened right above our bed. And then just maybe 10 seconds later, a great horned owl from right above our head, and the edge of the roof is right above our bed. And so this great horned owl calls so loud that I was so shocked that the kids didn't wake up from any of this. And it calls so loud. I've never heard an owl call that loud before. And we were just like, wow, we instantly, both of us were like, this means something, without a doubt. And this was even before that I dove into the owl connection. But then we knew, like, this is not normal. This is not usual. This is very meaningful. And we could feel it. And so then it was gone after calling. And the amazing thing is when an owl lands, it lands silently. It lands, they're so swift and silent. They're so, you know, they don't make very much sound when they take off, when they land. And so the fact that it just thundered onto the roof was like, wake up. And so Mark ended up getting ready a half an hour early, and he ended up leaving a half an hour early. And so when he got to Ohio later that day, because it took about five and a half hours to get there, his friend told him, oh my gosh, I was so worried about you, because there was a huge car pile up on the turnpike. And that's right where Mark drives through. He drives on the turnpike to get to Cleveland. And so he didn't know about it. And they were looking at exactly what time it happened. And it happened, we all did the math, and it happened exactly a half an hour after he passed through that exact spot. So if we would have woken up half an hour later, like expected, there was a real good chance he would have been in that huge car pileup, and there were fatalities, and it was a devastating crash. And you can search it. I have the date written in my book. I'd have to look at the exact date, but I know it was just a few days before Christmas. And yeah, so as soon as we found that out, we were like, the owl. That was a messenger that warned us, that woke us up and possibly saved Mark's life.
Yeah, it's amazing what comes up with owls, because they're also thought to be used as a screen memory, aren't they? Some people say they see an owl that's 4 feet tall, and there aren't any owls that are that tall.
I do believe that they are a screen memory. I've experienced that once myself.
Is it that you saw a grey owl in your mind's eye, and it was just inches from your face? And I've heard that from people who say that they've had the ETs, the tall greys, do that.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. And that happened, that vision, that memory that came, just, it's like, it was like someone touched me with this view that I was able to see what happened the night before. And that's what I saw. I saw this great gray owl, the face of one, just right in front of my eyes. And the night before was when I was woken up by the lights coming into my room.
You feel it would have been a gray, and perhaps it was using a screen memory. But when the eyes were so close to you, did you feel that it was looking into your eyes and there was maybe some connection, a telepathic or something?
I do. Yeah. I feel like when I saw that, I feel like, okay, this isn't just an owl. It's definitely not just an animal. It was something much deeper, was behind its eyes for sure. And there was definitely some sort of connection.
I wanted to talk to you about a chapter in the book. I think it's called Taken Aboard. Can you tell us about what happened there?
Yeah. So again, this experience starts with great horned owls. So there was one night in, you see, it was just a year ago. It was in February 2024. So it was just after 9 o'clock, and I stepped out front, set something outside, and it was February, so it was real dark out by then. And I, when I stepped out, I heard the owls calling just really close to the house. And so I called Mark out. I was like, hey, you know, you want to come out and listen to the owls with me? And so he stepped out. We were standing on the porch, listening to the owls and talking. And it was a really clear night. There was no wind. It was just nice and clear. And so we were also looking up at the stars because it was just really beautiful. You could see all of them that night. And one caught my eye. And right, just straight in my view, looking right out front in the sky. And I was thinking, that doesn't look like a star. And something just felt like, I felt like that's not a star. And so I continued to watch it. And then I realized it's changing color and it's a lot brighter than the rest of them around it. And so I asked Mark, I was like, you know, I told him about it and he agreed with me that doesn't look like a star, and it does look like it's changing color. And so I said, okay, I'm going to run in and grab my camera. You stay out here and watch it. So he stayed out, and I ran in, grabbed my camera, ran back out, and I zoomed in on it, and it was not a star. What I saw was, so we were watching it on my camera screen, and it was just hovering there above the forest, and right out front of the house, there's our yard and a field, and there's a dirt road, and then right on the other side of the dirt road is about 1,000 acres of forest, and it was hovering just above that. And so we're watching this bright white light in the center and a red and green light on the sides that are kind of blinking. And so we're thinking, you know, what is this, a drone? Is this, what is this? But deep down, I knew that, no, that's not what this is. This is something different. This is something unexplainable. And so we're watching it. And so I was taking like a clip, then I would set my camera down and we would talk about it. And then I would say, okay, record again. And I would go back and forth between talking and recording. And now I wish I would have just recorded nonstop, which I will do next time, because halfway in was, we watched it for about 10 minutes before it moved. And for those 10 minutes, about halfway in, it changed pattern. So then it was, it wasn't, the white wasn't in the middle. It was three lights that they were blinking between white, red, and green, but they changed pattern. And so it was hard for me to keep the camera from shaking. And so I said, okay, let me go grab my tripod. And so he stood out there and he watched it, kept an eye on it for me. And I ran as fast as I could up the stairs. And as soon as I got upstairs, he opened the door and started yelling, it's moving fast, come on, hurry. And so I ran back outside without my tripod, and I ran into the grass barefoot, turning on my camera, trying to focus on this huge craft that's flying silently right over our property. And it moved so fast that I couldn't focus on it. I tried so hard to get my camera to look at it and focus in, but it just shot right over us. And it was this big, silent craft that just went right over us, and it crossed the entire sky in seconds. And so, and the entire time, the great horned owls are calling the whole time. And so we both went inside and we were just like, you know, wow, that was, what was that? That was wild. And so what convinced me for sure that that was something unexplainable was what happened later that night. And this was my first ever experience, at least that I have memory of, that I can recall, of being in an operating room on the other side. And so what I remember is being escorted by these light beings down a bright white hallway. And I was out of body. I was totally conscious. And there were these rooms, the doorways in the hallway. As we walked down, you can see into the other rooms. And there were these other human women that were, some of them were, they were, seemed like they were in pain, or they were giving birth, or they were, their faces were as if they were going through the contractions or something like that. And then we got to my room. And so I, the next thing I knew, I was laying in my own bright white room, and I was laying naked on this white bed. And it was like a, hospital bed. It was a real thin mattress, and it had this, I could see it. There was this white fabric, like a sheet over the bed. And I was looking around, and I was just, you know, wondering where I was. And I looked underneath the bed, and there was nothing but light, like it was floating. And I knew that others were with me. I could sense their presence, but I couldn't see outside of the room. I couldn't see anything around me other than light. And it wasn't a bad feeling. It was just bizarre. It was just like, whoa. And so all of a sudden I felt like I was going to give birth, like something was coming through me and getting ready to come out. And so I was just like feeling the sensation of something moving through me. And I had had two children before. I'm very familiar with the feeling of having a child. And so, but that's then this scorpion shaped fleshy thing came out of me. And I say scorpion because that's just the closest comparison that I can make, but it's not totally right on. It's just the general shape of its body was kind of like a scorpion, but it didn't have like pinchers, or it didn't have like a, it didn't have a stinger or anything like that, but just the shape of its body was like that. And it just laid like motionless on the bed. It was just like this strange thing. So I scooched up so I wouldn't sit on it. And then I just kind of started to feel off, and I felt that there was something else that was going to come out. And then I just had this thick haste start to come out of my body. And then that's when I started to feel like I was going to get sick. And so this being next to me on my right handed me this disposable towel that I could like put on my mouth and use if I needed to. And so I just remember I was just dry heaving over this towel, and I knew I was okay. And I knew that somehow I was like, even though it wasn't a good feeling to experience that, I knew it wasn't a bad thing that was happening. So someone of higher authority came into the room, and they were just made of light, or that was all that I could perceive was light coming from them. And I instantly felt a much bigger connection with this being. I knew them, and they came in, and it was almost like they were called in because this was happening to me. I was getting sick, or maybe because of how I was responding to it. And so they transferred this compassion to me. They felt for me, and I felt their love, and that they felt bad for me, that I was getting sick, and that I didn't feel good from it. And that's when I was sent back.
Well, it's been great talking to you today. The book's called Born Awakened, An Otherworldly True Story, and people can get that on Amazon, can't they?
Yep. Yep, it's available on Amazon.
Great. Do you have a website?
I'm on social media. I'm on Instagram and Facebook. So I'm Born Awakened on Instagram and Facebook. and I have the link to my book, and I talk about all these sorts of things. And I'm also going to start talking about some things that I didn't include in the book, and, you know, all sorts of things on it. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me and letting me talk about my experiences.
And that was an interview with Samantha Leafker about her book, Born Awakened, An Otherworldly True Story. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up to Patreon, where you can get exclusive access to the extended version of this episode. Just go to patreon.com/alienUFOpodcast. When you sign up, you get access to the episodes in the back catalogue, and they are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions. My website is pastliveshypnosis.co.uk, and the link is in the show notes. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.